Oh, I think I hummed before I actually pressed record. So there may have been like a half and a hum. I'll start again. Welcome to chapter, should have checked, of Memoirs of a White Guy. Welcome my guest today, Lewis Spears.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, someone messaged me the other day of like, they said, oh, Luke stole your joke where you forget the episode number every episode.
Joke?
I said, hey man, I'm not joking and neither is he. That's... We're both fucking stupid.
But that's not even funny.
No, it's not funny.
Like, I do it like every week and I think you guys would agree, it's never funny. And then when I look it up, while I'm looking it up, I'm often explaining how incredibly bad content that it is.
And you know what? I did this
being like... fucking retarded isn't a joke.
No.
It's a serious problem and you should go get help.
Yeah, I think last week on my podcast I said welcome to episode 115 and then I uploaded it. I was like, "Oh, it's episode 122."
150.
Way off.
Yeah, I get within one or two. Like I'll be like, "Oh, is it 93 or 94?" Oh, we'll take a stab. You're like, "I'm pretty sure it's 36, guys."
No, I missed it.
So, Lewis, for those who don't listen to our radio show, many of you, I mean, I talk about it a lot on here, so you'd know of it. This is Lewis, the other half of the radio show.
Hey!
Many of you guys will probably know who he is already. You've been on the podcast before,
yes.
So they would know you from then. You actually, I realise, you haven't been on the podcast officially as a guest since episode 7.
Really?
You've been on the podcast, like, there was a couple of times when we were on tour that you were just around and yelling in the background.
Yeah, I'm just like and a figure that yells shit.
Sometimes you're often on speakerphone yelling at me through the phone.
I like that though. Instead of a guest, I'm more of just a ghost that says cunt.
Yeah, you just come and go and offend everyone as you please.
Cunt. Your podcast is haunted with offensive shit.
And so the reason why you're on today is because you've just released a comedy special.
Yes, I have. I released my first comedy special called Death Threats Don't Scare Me, and I'm on here to talk about it and make you guys laugh, and hopefully you guys will watch it.
Yeah, strong start with spooky ghosts.
Hey,
expect
man.
More content.
Hey,
like
if
that.
You didn't like that, there's none of that in the special.
That's true. If you didn't like that though, you're not on that similar comedic wavelength, you'll probably hate the special. And you'll especially hate the DVD commentary.
Yeah, the commentary is something special that people just keep fucking being like, man, the commentary, you know what shits me? The commentary is getting almost more feedback than the special itself.
Yeah, so, well, okay, we'll get into the special office after this, but so you recorded like an hour-long comedy special,
yeah.
And then you invited myself and Radio Mike to kind of be on the commentary track. I don't know if you've ever watched a DVD of like a movie. Again, this is why we started talking about it in the special, but the only DVD commentary I've ever even bothered to view a bit of is the Shrek DVD commentary. And it's just like... the producers and the director go like, and then in this.
But I don't get why you would watch the commentary of an animated movie because you can't like.
You learn about the history of Lord Farquaad and like.
Yeah, but that sucks. I like listening to like, oh, we filmed this like this and we did this stunt this way. But with the director, he's just like, oh, we just got a bunch of Vietnamese 9-year-olds to animate this scene.
They
didn't do it quick enough, so we beat them.
Yeah.
So you don't learn anything about how they made it.
Yeah, I mean, I just was a big fan of Shrek. Once you've already gone through Shrek's karaoke in the Swamp Dance Party at the end of the credits,
and then you've gone
through the original three films. I don't watch the fourth. There's nothing in that for me. But yeah, once you've gone through that much Shrek content, then you've watched the Christmas special, Shrek the Halls with Puss and Donkey.
Does that count as Shrek 5?
Well, Shrek 5, I think, is rumoured to be on the way.
I did read an article that they're considering a remake, which just... Don't! Just don't.
But also, like, if you make it good, I'd be pretty pro Shrek 4.
I mean, I'll go see it, for sure.
I didn't go see Shrek 4 because it got canned. It got destroyed. It was one with Rumpelstiltskin.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen it.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, no one saw it.
I think I saw Puss in Boots, and I was like, I'm done with this franchise. You know when you're just done with a franchise?
Oh, that is me and Stuart Little, all the way. I mean...
Oh, remember when they made that awful animated
a third
Stuart
one,
Little?
And
yuck!
It didn't even star Michael J. Fox, I don't think,
no.
As Stuart Little. They got a different guy to voice it.
That's disgusting.
It was like in the animated version of Kung Fu Panda. Jack Black does not... I don't know why we're talking about this.
It's very important, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, you know how good the cast of Kung Fu Panda is? It's Angelina Jolie, Jackie Chan, Seth Rogen, Jack Black.
Which one
all voice the Furious Five.
Which one does so Angelina voice?
The cat. That's why
you fuck the cat.
Yeah, that's why you want to fuck the tiger. Yeah.
Because it's Angelina Jolie.
And then it's like... I forget which one Jackie Chan is. Seth Rogen's the Praying Mantis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crazy good cast.
And how many weird jokes does the Praying Mantis
Yeah, he doesn't do many at all, which is why it's
so are you sure it was Seth Rogen?
It's one of Seth Rogen. Yeah, but he does the laugh. Occasionally the Praying Mantis. Okay. It's so weird, a Praying Mantis going... Anyway, so the DVD commentary. Yes, you invited us to... It's where we talk about... well, we ended up talking about Shrek.
We were supposed to talk about how we made the comedy
and
special.
That's like them. We were supposed to talk about the DVD commentary, but it just ended up being Shrek chat.
And I don't know why. I don't know why I'm surprised that it ended up being about Shrek, because Radio Mike was on the commentary and he had nothing to do with the special. I met him when it was almost done.
Yeah, we had known him for a month when you filmed it.
Yeah.
Because we met him in October. You filmed it in November.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you just wanted a third party in the commentary track to tell you how awful you were as a person.
Because that would be
you,
funny.
You know I'm pretty pro Dreamworld jokes. Like, that's...
Yeah, I didn't want to be in an echo chamber in the comedy special, because it's not... If you say something fucked up, it's not funny if everyone goes, oh, well done, mate, that was awful. You want at least one person going, because otherwise it's no fun.
Yeah, like, Radio Mike, even like... He came on the night to watch it live,
yeah.
And even he was still squirming at some of the stuff you're saying
so funny.
While watching the DVD commentary. But yeah, that's why. So yeah, the reason why the DVD commentary has become such a reviewed part of this. Mate, please put your phone in airplane mode.
I need to show you the tweet that fucking Mike sent me. This is how he promoted it.
Okay, but I just want to let you know, after you finish this tweet, we do have a rule on this podcast that where we airplane mode our phones while we listen and watch.
Well, I'm just assuming, in case I call.
Pardon? Yeah, it's because usually say something about Amy Schreck.
I'm so
But
shattered.
Now that you're here, you're just distracting me in person instead of on the phone.
I'm so distracted. I can't find his tweet. But basically, he tweeted out a link to the special.
And he was like, I don't approve. I saw it. It was like, I don't approve of all the things that were said in this, but go check it out anyway. Yeah, I was like, I do not endorse...
He goes, this. I don't endorse most of the jokes in this special, but Lewis worked really hard on it, so check it out.
But he makes out like he has this squeaky clean public image, Radio Mike, which he does.
No, if you're my mate, your image is fucked.
Yeah, true. By association, you can never have a career. Full stop. But yeah, the DVD commentary has gotten up a lot of hype around it because we did promote that it had some Shrek gags at the end. I listened to it the other day. It's only about no more than 2 minutes of Shrek content at the end, but I would say... Very high quality Shrek content.
Oh yeah, it's real. It's like compressed.
It's condensed.
So
like,
you know how they make a diamond with like 10,000 years of pressure.
Yeah,
that's what we did with those
with Shrek.
A couple of Shrek diamonds. In
we
there.
Just crammed it all into one swamp chat right at the end. go check it out. But yeah, so the actual special.
Mm.
Let's talk. You. So when did it
begin?
Oh, that's
pretty good too.
So this began. I remember you told me about it the fifth time I met you.
Yeah.
And I thought you were just weird, and I was like, I don't really get what he's talking about.
Yeah, because that would have been about a year into my comedy career.
And you were like, I was like, oh, what's the plan for the next, I don't know what we're talking about. It came up, and then you started telling me about this grand mega idea. And this was before you can even fill a room.
That was before I could sell tickets.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that was like, you had to still do two shows in a big theatre to even film the special. You were talking about this before you could sell out a big theatre.
Before I could even sell 60 seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I've always...
Ambition.
I've always been about speaking shit into existence. And like, if I say it, and if I tell people, and if I tell myself that it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
And it did.
So, hey. But yeah, I've always been like that. And yeah, it was like, I'd say when I told you, if I was telling you, that probably means I probably thought of the idea 6 months ago.
Right.
So, I guess maybe I thought of this idea 6 months into starting stand-up of like, oh, 2 or 3 years from now, I'm going to do a comedy special.
And
I'm going to crowdfund it.
Was it always crowdfunding?
Yeah, I think so, because I knew that I had the internet thing, and I knew that TV here was dying and they wouldn't fund it, and also Netflix wasn't really a thing when I thought of the idea, here at least.
Yeah.
So, there weren't really, Netflix specials weren't really a thing, so I was like, oh, well, I think the only way I could ever get a comedy special is by selling out to Channel 9 and telling jokes about my family and how much I hate my wife, or I could just spend...
And then you would have had to get married, and it would have been a fuck around.
Yeah, like,
you gotta give someone half your shit.
And I'm already married, I did that, it wasn't that fun.
Yeah, he's not married, actually, that was a weird joke.
It's
a weird joke for your girlfriend, because she's probably sitting there going...
No, I am married.
Huh?
I married a man.
Oh, remember? You are?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Lewis is actually legally married. I forgot about that.
Everyone forgets. But yeah, I thought of that, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to do that in 2 years. And then I got it, 2 years went by, and I was like, I reckon I could probably do it, but it wouldn't be amazing. Like, it'd be good, but it wouldn't be amazing. So I was like, I need another year to get better at stand-up.
And it was a good call, because, like, I really got to know you, like, I didn't really know you in that first tour at all. I hadn't met you yet. And then by the second tour, I opened for that Try and Stop Me tour.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That was Try to Cancel Me.
And I opened for Melbourne and Brisbane and Sydney. And that was before I'd ever done a solo show.
Yeah.
And then if you had have done it then, like, I think, like, for people who have watched Lewis's special already, the jokes from that show were, like, the second year was the hairdresser bit.
Mm.
There wasn't that much from the second year.
No, because the really good bits from my second year are actually saved for
you. Saved one banger bit from the second year.
I saved Gay Hitler. That'll come back at some point.
If you want to hear what Adolf Hitler sounds like as a homosexual, watch the next one after this. It's not in this one, but it's coming.
It's funny for like how little people actually... I think only maybe like almost 2,000 people saw Gay Hitler. But it's something that is always like, when are you doing that again? Do that one again. Do it again. Bring back Gay Hitler.
It was a good bit. It was like a 10-minute bit of you impersonating a gay German.
Yeah, it was like, the joke starts off with, I think if Hitler was gay, I don't think the Holocaust would have been that bad. And then I do a 10-minute impression of Gay Hitler that goes on for like almost too long.
I remember when you first did that bit, and I used to run a room. And so I was like, yeah, just come and do however long you want. And that bit went for 15 minutes. And it was like, there was like 150 people there. Like, it was quite a successful, like, comedy room I was running. And it was like, a fair few of them were like high school friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And then by like the, I remember like the 9-minute mark, a few of my mates were going, how long does this go for?
And I'm just up there, because the thing with that bit is if you... I've learned doing it a few times, if you slow down or if you look unsure, if you look like you don't believe you're Gay Hitler for even half a second,
the whole
crowd is like, hang on, this is really offensive.
This is really, like, it's homophobic and it's also, like, it's anti-Semitic and homophobic as well.
After doing that, I was like, oh, maybe I should just shave 5 minutes off this. But that's not in the special.
I would say, like, this current special, Death Threats Don't Scare Me, is, what would you say, like, a third of your first year's show? Not even. Maybe, like, 10 minutes. Oh, it's mostly last year's show. I would say 25 minutes of last year's show.
I think, I think probably the last 25 to 30 minutes is from last year's show. And that's when... I feel like last year, when I did that show, that's when I was like, oh,
you, like, leveled up.
Yeah, like, I just got twice as good as I was last year. And then I was like, oh, now, like, when I wrote the Dream World bit, I was like, no, now I'm ready. This is the kind of comedian I want to be. So let's record a special. And then, you know, we crowdfunded it. I asked for 15 grand. I end up getting 50, which is fucking nuts. And it's the biggest crowdfund for a comedy special in the world, worldwide. The second biggest... I feel a little bit guilty about that title, because the second biggest crowdfund was for a comedian to film his last comedy special before he died of cancer.
And you beat him.
Yeah, so...
Is he still alive?
Hey, if you are, man, sorry. And also, well done.
Yeah, well done. I was going to say, if he's alive, that's great news.
Yeah, and you deserve it way more than me, but hey.
But hey, you do memes on the internet, so that shows you a lot about society. Like, what are we willing to fund? A guy's Make a Wish or Lewis?
And you know what else is funny? One time some charity got me to be an ambassador for some fucking famine challenge or some shit where you give up something or you're only supposed to eat rice. I said, they were like, hey, can you post and be an ambassador and do the challenge? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. Didn't do the challenge. I was like, fuck that, I'm not going to only eat rice, but I will post and tell everyone that I'm doing it. And I only raised like $45 for the charity.
For how long? And you're an ambassador.
I was an official ambassador promoted by the charity, and I raised $45 for the starving kids, which means that my fans are awful people.
And not only
they're
that,
like, help the kids? Fuck you, mate. Help Lewis? Yeah.
But not only that, it's like you would have actually lost that charity money because they would have put money into making you the ambassador.
No, I didn't charge them money to be the
ambassador. No, but they would have... Someone would have got paid, or it would have... At least $45 would have been put into making the website.
That's true. It would have taken at least 3 hours to build the website and organize me.
And $20 an hour, already they're in the loss. They're running
$20 in the loss. So, sorry, kids, you know... You're going to go without rice, but you will have a cool comedy special to watch if you ever make it through the famine.
I actually would love the rice challenge, because recently I discovered that rice was my favourite food.
Really?
I've told you about this. Fried rice, special fried rice.
You didn't tell me about this. Then why do you always get those fucking dirty kebabs before we do a radio show?
Well, last night I got rice.
Yeah, and the show was better. Every time you get a kebab, I can see a kebab inside you. When I'm looking at your face, you're like trying to have a good time, but I can see the kebab behind your eyes.
I know why you hate kebabs so much. They make me feel good.
Nah, man. I met like one weekend. I went out and there was a security guard, and he was like an ex-commando, a soldier. He'd killed like 40 people, and he had that look behind his eyes. And that's the same look that you have when you have a kebab. It's like, I've done some fucked up shit. I'm trying to be in the moment, but I can't stop remembering the horrible shit I've done.
I'm having bad flashbacks. Yeah, but no, man, fried rice is my favourite food. Like, at the radio station, we've worked out... This is like... I know this is probably boring, but to us, this is like all we fucking ever talk about. There's only bread and pasta on our street.
There's only bread and food in bread, and pasta bread.
What we mean by that is there's Nando's Grilled, there's a pasta shop, there's fish and chip that sell only burgers, but the fish is shit, so we don't get it. There's pizza, there's a place that sells like baguettes, and like the cafe that only sells like wraps.
Yeah.
There's only bread and kebabs. There's the kebab store.
That's in a wrap, which is bread. It's all fucking bread. It's the bread zone.
So sometimes we walk a kilometer just to get fried rice.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not the best fried rice. But then last night we found out there's this place that this is how thick I am. People, again, don't even realize how much of an idiot I am. I've been getting these kebabs every single like week for like 6 months, and then Lewis one day comes in with different rice, not to the place that we walk a kilometer down. I was like, where'd you get that rice from? Is that from home? And you're like, no, it's just from the place outside. And I'm like, there's no place, mate. I would know, rice is my favorite food. And he goes, it's right next to the kebab joint. I've been so focused on kebabs. There's a place called Walk This Way that I haven't walked into.
Well, it's right next to it. The sign's way bigger. See, this is why every time... Sometimes I feel like people get angry... When I do something stupid, people get angry at me. And they go, you're a fucking idiot. It's like, no, you're an idiot because you thought I wasn't.
Oh, this is what we're talking about in the car on the way over. And I was going to fucking bitch about this on the podcast anyway. So I'm sorry that we're doing this on your guest episode. But you would film me as a fellow creator. I put out this Love Island video, right? It went for 10 minutes straight. Okay? It went for 10 minutes and 1 second. And every comment under it was like... Oh, nice one, dickhead. Because everyone knows that, like, when you get to 10 minutes on YouTube, you can put in more ads.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, yeah, way to just make it 10 minutes and extend your outro. And, mate, that did not even occur to me until I saw the comment. That I forgot that I could actually put on
and
more
also,
ads.
And also, hey, sorry, man, that you have more comedy. Sorry for inconveniencing you with more shit to watch free.
You can skip the ad. You see, I almost choked them when I fucking said it. You almost choking in anger. You can skip the ads.
I am sick and tired of cunts complaining about shit that is free. It's for free. You don't pay for it. I pay to make it. I'm doing you a favor.
People will be like, I don't give a fuck about your pasta at work. Cool. Don't listen. Nah, keep listening. I really appreciate it. That's another thing. Half of this podcast is me venting at the people who listen to the podcast.
Hey, man. You get to a certain point and there's just... Like, overall, 99% of people are amazing. But the bigger you get, the more people there are in that 1%.
The 1% increases, and
when you've got
start,
100 fans, there's one fuckhead. When you've got 1,000, there's 100. When you're like us, and you've got like 300,000,
there's
a city.
There's 10 if you have 1,000.
I said 1%. Oh, there's 10.
Yeah.
Is there?
That'd be 10% if there was
100. See?
But you have a lot of fuckheads, though. So
yeah,
you...
actually, for me, it's about 60-40.
But yeah, it was people like, is SMH shaking my head? Is that what it means? Yeah. I'm not really up with the kids.
I hate SMH.
With the lingo. But anyway.
Hey, SMD. Anyone who writes SMH, suck my dick.
Yeah. It was like, SMH, I can't believe you're putting more ads. And I was like, mate, here's what I think. Okay, people think that we put a lot more thought into shit than we do.
No.
When I'm filming it and editing it, it does not occur to me the runtime, because I'm worried about... sometimes I cut jokes out that I filmed. Sometimes I don't know how long... Like, say if I reference a clip from
you
Love Island...
You can't tell how long a video is going to be
gonna go
while
for.
You're filming it.
And even when I write it, I don't think that's 10 minutes. I just write it until I think I've covered enough or covered everything I want
I
to.
I do, like, 2 pages, and I don't go over 2 pages because I know that 2 pages of writing will
about
generally be about between 7 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Depending on what's happening.
I sometimes do a 4-page script if I need to, and then I'll cut some in the edit. But yeah. I've never, like... I've never actually tried to that 10-minute mark. And it just confused me that it was such a thing on people's... on consumers' minds. Like, people who consume content is like... Oh, people... Like, dude, I've made $300 ever from YouTube.
Yeah.
Because all my videos that go big are copyrighted because I steal a lot of music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like... They're all
doing that extra ad shit doesn't help until you're getting like millions of
the
views.
The video got age restricted anyway, so fuck you all. I didn't get any money. I just made YouTube more money.
You know what's funny about that Love Island shit is that it can go on TV, but not even the internet will be like, oh, we'll run ads on this.
Yeah, YouTube was like, oh, that's offensive, and that was my point. It kind of proved my point in the video.
And it wasn't anything that you said.
No,
it was the clips from the TV show.
They were like, oh, it has nudity, and I was like, I didn't get my dick out in the video.
Yeah, so
it
was Love Island.
It was Love Island,
which plays prime time on fucking TV.
Channel
in Australia.
9. Oh, it's not prime time. It got axed to 9 Go. So even
Channel
9 Go. Yeah.
Man, jeez, 9 Go. I'd rather be playing on like TV screens in 7-Elevens than fucking 9 Go.
That is what it is. Like, so yeah, back to the comedy special.
Yeah.
What's your favourite joke? Is it Dreamwell?
I'd say there's I got three for three really different reasons. So my favourite joke is Busting Your Balls. Because that's like 1:30, in and out, real quick, real funny, and no one ever sees it coming.
Yeah.
And I also really, I love the story of how we wrote.
I think I've told the story on this podcast. We've
definitely
told it on
yours.
It's
in the commentary.
Just go with the commentary.
Because that was like 3 people wrote that joke.
It was my original seed of an idea for one of my jokes.
Yeah.
Then you were like, oh, what if that ever happened to women? And then we started to think, yeah, it was like 3 people.
Yeah, it's in the commentary. So I really like that. That's a joke, and I like the story behind it. And then I love Dreamworld because I think that's the best joke I've ever written. And I think it says a really good point, and it's like crazy funny. Like I did a little tour around the country where we premiered it in movie cinemas, and it was this real cool thing where I got to watch people watch me, and like I learned so much about how I perform, because when you're performing, you're in the moment. You're just like trying to remember your jokes and trying to be there.
Yeah.
But I just got to sit down and watch myself on stage. I picked up all the mistakes I make, all of my bad habits, all my good habits, and I got to see people react to it in real time while being detached from it. And like the Dreamworld bit from the special was like, oh, that's perfect. Like I couldn't do that better.
Yeah, it's like a finished. It's such a like if you watch like a Jim Jefferies special or like an. I don't know, like any comedian who's been just doing it for like 10 years, that's like the one joke that stands out as like, oh, that would be a fucking good bit in anyone's special.
Yeah.
Like it
I
would be
so.
One of a great comedian's most, like, if save Jim Jefferies, oh, he just did drop a new special, but it would have still been one of the most memorable jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I think forever, like, that's going to be like, oh, I remember that when he did that one.
Yeah, I think so. So that's, yeah, I guess that's my gun control bit because it's just like so fucking good and I just get messages about it all the time. That was so good. And then the other one I really like is right after that is the armless lesbian bit because I love doing physical comedy, but I love doing fucked up dark humor. And with that bit, I got to combine the two.
That's so funny. You combine, like, your love for, like, Jim Jefferies and your love for, like, Lena and Woodley. And then, yeah, like, just put them into this bit about fucking lesbian amputees trying to fuck each other.
Yeah, so there's, like, a whole bunch of me just rolling around on the floor doing real physical comedy. Like, at the end of it, if you watch the special, I'm fucked. I'm like, it really takes a lot out of me, but yeah.
Like, I don't do, like, physical jokes in the sense of, like, oh, like, you know, I'm telling a story, I'll act it out and I move around a lot, but I don't do jokes that are, like, the movement...
Well, your body's the joke.
The movement isn't the joke. It's still what I'm saying, but I just enhance the joke by moving around it. But I would say my favourite bit is... I mean, this is only going to make sense to people that watch the special. On the night, I remember I almost cried with laughter at the end of your... You ever been on World Vegan Day?
Yeah.
And there were some points where you were pretty much sticking to the script every single night on the special. And then... Yeah. The second
I filmed it twice. So the first night, I did everything pretty much word for word because I'm like, I need to get one good take. And I was like, this is my special. Yeah. But then the second night, I went on stage being like, oh, I can fuck this up and still use night one and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that made me so much better because then I went off script and then I was just more comfortable.
You're looser. But even like in the lead up to the special, I went with you to open for your shows in New Zealand, and you're doing the Death Threats Don't Scare Me show all throughout New Zealand to practice leading up to the special. And you were like almost word for word every night, really getting it down pat. And then the second night of the special, when you were being all loose, at the end of the World Vegan Day bit, you just throw in, you're like getting mad at a vegan, and you just go, eat a cucumber.
Which I'd never said
before. You'd never come out of your mouth before. And I, like... It got, like, a laugh.
Wasn't that funny?
That I fucking cried, and I've turned it up. If you turn up the volume in the special...
You can hear
you
Luke
can
laughing.
Hear me laugh. And people have sent me going, hey, man, are you laughing? And people send me the timestamp.
That's so funny.
And they're like, man, you're the only person who laughed at this cucumber bit. I was like, fucking, it's hilarious.
that is funny, actually. There's one bit where you piss yourself, because I did went off script. And there's another bit, I can't remember, but I listened to it and I can hear my girlfriend dying at... I think she actually was dying at chopping your clip.
Yeah, it's a good bit. Oh, yeah, so I don't really like... Oh, it's in the trailer, so it's... Anyways, I can give it away.
We're not going to, like, ruin the jokes.
Ruin the jokes, but there is a punchline. I need to say the punchline to tell the story, though. Can I say the punchline of chopping your clit?
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost the punchline. It's, don't worry, love, I'm just chopping your clit, right? That's the end of the joke.
Yeah.
And I was out with a mate of mine. I already told you this the other day. Simo from the radio show. We were out having a few beers at a bar. And he was, like, pretty tanked. And he's like, oh, mate, have you... He's like, I've seen Lewis's comedy special trailer... And we're in a bar, there's women around from different ages. There's like 50 people.
So, hey, before Luke goes, this is why you should not repeat my jokes.
Yeah.
Don't try, because I'm a comedian, you're not. I'm on stage, you're in front of strangers.
And you're
don't do it.
You're paid to be in that environment as an audience. The people who are around us at the bar have not paid $30 to hear chopping your clip jokes.
I wouldn't do my jokes in front of... anyone.
Yeah.
So people ask me all the time. A girl I was with was like, oh, can you tell me one of the jokes? And I was like, hey, I don't want to ruin your night. No.
No. Like, you'll cry. Because it's one-on-one and it's offensive. And, yeah, so we're like in at a bar. There's like 50 people around. And there's not even like loud music. It's just like quiet chatter. And then Simo's like 8 years deep. And he goes, you know the bit where he's like... And then he screams and he's like, don't worry, love, I'm just... And he does the movie and goes, don't worry, love, I'm just chopping your clit. And like 10, 20 people just turn around and go, did that guy just say chopping your clit? And I'm like, hey, man, maybe we don't do that. He's like, it's so good. And then he keeps doing it. And he's like, oh, he's got that other good bit about the fucking orphans in the well. And I was like, shut up. I'm like, he was even just like... saying your set list, which was offending people.
My set list.
Like, literally just...
Yeah, the titles of
the titles
joke.
Of the joke.
The subject matter. Orphans, dream world, clits.
Yeah, amputee lesbians. You know, it's like, you can't say any of that shit in public. But yeah, it was great. So, since... I do want to talk about... Like, so you filmed it in November. It cost, like, a lot of money, but it was all crowdfunded.
Yeah.
And then it came out 2 weeks ago now.
Last Tuesday. Almost one week.
So it's available now, by the way.
Yeah. Loosepairs.com/watch. You can stream it or download it. It's only $5. Like, it's cheap as fuck.
Loosepairs.com.
Fuck you. I hate that.
And the post-production process. Do you want to explain? I think there's a few people even asking me, like, when's Lewis's special coming out? I was like, fucking ask him. I don't care. Like, ask him. And I think people might want to know who are a fan of you, like, what was the hold up? Because there was like a few reasons.
Yeah, well, so we did the crowdfund in like, we launched the crowdfund in July and then we filmed it in November.
So it's a year since the crowdfund.
Yeah, it's been a year. And then I said, oh, this will come out in March or April, which I genuinely believed. So what happened was, the main thing that happened was we got, halfway through my crowdfund, we got radio. We got a show.
October. We started demoing and all. So the end of August, I came back from Fiji. This is how I remember it, because we were talking about Fiji in our demos. So
yeah,
end
it was
of
a couple
August,
months after
end
that.
Of August, we were like interviewing in, and that was just right a month after the crowdfund, and our lives changed completely, which I've talked about a bit in the podcast, but like, and I talked about it with Mike as well, and like. That's you made a lot of big calls online, like, I'm doing this crowdfund. I was like, at the time, I'm going to start a monthly series called Trending Trash. Guys, episode 3 still coming. But you know what I mean? Like, at the time, I was like, I want to do more. I'm not doing anything. I want to do my job.
I think what really surprised us is with radio, radio for both of us was just something that we would like to do, but was just not on the cards at all, because how the fuck are we going to get that?
It came out of nowhere.
And then I knew a producer, Hamish and Andy's producer, and I always had that. I was like, oh, I'll send him an email at some
point. And I also knew Jack Post from, like, Cackling Jack from Hamish and Andy, so just through community radio.
And just on a whim, we sent through a demo tape, and then we...
We talked about fonts.
And then 2 or 3 weeks, literally about a month after, we had a show.
Yeah.
Like, it was out of nowhere.
I think, though, like, anyone ballsy enough to send through a chat about Times New Roman and Comic Sans...
Yeah.
Really...
Give those kinds of show.
Yeah, give those... Like, that's... I don't actually understand the logic.
Yeah. But it seems to be working out.
You know what it was? It's because we came to them with a product. So the way, like, radio stations often work is, and you probably see this as a consumer, is that they group shows together.
Yeah, so they get this person from The Bachelor, this person from TV, put them in a room, they're not friends, they don't know anything about each other.
And it works sometimes. Sometimes it works great, and sometimes it doesn't work, and that's literally always...
Most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah, but that's always going to be the case when you're just trial and error with putting two people together. Like, Hughie and Kate, I'm sure they just got put together.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
And that's worked for years.
Yeah.
And they're one of the best shows on air.
I guess you can't teach or learn a dynamic.
You can't
either,
like,
you
teach
like
friendship.
Someone or you don't. Yeah, you can't.
So like, we came to them with like, Luke and Lewis, that's the show. Like, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't like I came to them and then Lewis came to them. Like, well, you two will be good together. We were like, this is it. And then they, at the start, there was even chat of adding someone else in, adding a female, maybe adding another guy.
And we were like, nah, it's us or we quit.
And we were just like, yeah, nah, we're just doing this for the shit meme. So like, I don't want a shit meme with anyone else.
Yeah.
And yeah, but like, so yeah, that happened in... And then through September, we were demoing. And already that started like going, okay, this is changing our lives a little bit.
Yeah,
and then
so
it went
doing demos while I was getting ready for the special. And I was like, I've got these two things.
Because I remember that there was one week where we were doing radio 5 days a week. And then I remember like, we left the radio station. I went home packed. And the next morning at 6 a.m, we were at an airport going to New Zealand. And then we went to New Zealand for the whole weekend.
And New Zealand was to do the comedy special.
Yeah.
New Zealand for me was essentially a rehearsal. So anyone from New Zealand that saw the show, that's the special.
And then I remember we came back from New Zealand Sunday night, and then Monday morning we were back at the radio station.
Yeah.
And it was like 14 days straight of just
comedy.
Like 14 hour
comedy.
And I was like, and that was when, and now, like, at the time, that was like a real shock to the system.
Yeah.
When I was like, oh shit, this is like my life now. And I just quit my day job like 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
So I'd never done that before. And then since then, I've been doing that ever since. It hasn't stopped. That's the thing. It was that week changed my life.
Yeah. I'd say like now 12 to 18 hour days is pretty normal.
Yeah. He thinks it's normal to sleep 6 hours a day because Arnold Schwarzenegger does that.
Yeah, dude. If you here's the Arnie quote that changed my life. He's like, a lot of people say you need 8 hours. No, you don't. Just sleep faster.
He's such a dumbass.
No, but actually, man, I every now and then I try sleeping more than six, and I wake up feeling shit. I slept 6 hours. I was up until I wanted to go to sleep tonight at like last night at midnight. But then I ended up, I was playing video games until 1 in the morning, and then I woke up at 7, and I felt great.
World of Warcraft expansion pack's coming out soon, guys, so Lewis is gearing up.
I need to gear up. August 14, the battle for Azeroth is here, I'm fighting for the Horde, I'm a troll warrior, protection spec, I gotta be tanking, I gotta get the quest done, man, there's so much shit I need to do.
Some of my mates who, from high school, because they're like, not like you, they're like, how do you like you, like, where did you and Lewis become friends? Like, none of us play World of Warcraft. And I'm like, yeah, but we're all troll, really, we're all like troll warriors at heart, I think. I like to think that, you know, even though I don't participate in that filth, that I would, I like to think that if I did, I would still probably enjoy it.
I can't believe I'm playing a 14-year-old game.
I used to play a game called Mountain Blade.
Oh, that's a great game.
And it was like, where you're knights, and it's played all the time, and like, I was like a king.
I remember that game.
I conquered the whole land.
There's heaps of enemies and
shit. Yeah, you cool like have like six enemies at the one time, but you go and raid them.
That was cool.
Yeah, alright, this podcast has got it.
But anyway, so the first thing was radio, because I was like, I think, honestly, if we didn't have radio, I could have got out in March, because radio, because my life is like, stand-up comedy is a full-time job, YouTube is a full-time job, and so is radio.
That's so funny how, like, no one looks at it like that, because, like, there's such thing as a comedian, which is a profession, there is such thing as a radio host, which is a profession, and there's such thing as a YouTuber now, which is actually a profession, believe it or not. And we're doing, like, all three of these things, but the thing is, like, we're making fuck-all money from each three individually.
Yeah.
So then when you combine the three, it's like, ah, I can kind
by
of...
By your powers combined, I am minimum wage.
Yeah. It's, it's like I can just afford rice.
Yeah, so radio happened and I wasn't planning for that, which, you know, it's great. I love radio. And then I just think we really underestimated how much work it is to get a product from filmed to released. Like, because I'd never done that before, and also because I crowdfunded it, it wasn't like there was a TV company with producers and with people who had done it before.
You and Antonio.
It was me and Antonio, and then Antonio, really, I could only afford to pay
him. He's the director, by the way.
Yeah, Antonio was the director, and he went fucking above and beyond for this special, because really, I only paid him to film it and edit it. Like, really, that's all I paid him to do, but he did so much more shit, just because he knows the film industry. And I don't. So,
and so much shit of like, you have to make movie formats for the cinema screening. You got to make like,
yeah, dude, I had to
DVD
pay,
formats.
I had to pay $700 to some business to export my special into a DCP file and then courier hard drives to three different movie cinemas in three different formats. And then there's shit like getting it
rated. That's so old school.
I know.
You have to send them like the. It's almost like how they used to send them the film.
Well, because it was 700 gigs. Like, you just can't upload it. Yeah. So, and then there's, like, all this behind-the-scenes shit that's so boring, but it's, like, getting it rated, getting the DVD formats, playing the DVD, and choosing the art.
I loved your,
all that shit.
When you got it rated, do you have that on your Instagram still?
Yeah, I do.
So, like, when you get something rated by, what's it called, the Australian
government something.
It's like G, P, G, M, M, A, how they rate it, right?
You can't release a movie until they rate it.
They sent Lewis a report back of why it was rated. Was it MA in the end?
Yeah, MA.
You were going for the R rating.
I really wanted that.
Should've got your dick out.
And I don't know why, because Jim Jeffrey's latest special got an R.
No, R is in America is MA here. So it would be R in America.
Oh.
It's a different rating system.
Well, then what's...
R is just 18 plus there. It's MA.
Right, I didn't know that. So what's their...
Their R is like porn, triple X.
Right.
It's like X or...
Oh, okay, because I thought... I watched Jim Jeffrey's latest special and I was like, I'm pretty sure I tell a few jokes that are just
Australia has a different rating system.
Oh, okay. That
but
makes
our,
sense.
It's like... I don't know, it's just like weird that you can watch some stuff technically when you're 15.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, this is what they wrote.
You need to read out what... So
okay, so what they have is there's like different categories. So like sex, language, drug use, nudity, violence, themes.
But
like
then they quote
themes.
You at some points.
Yeah, so main feature, element, language, frequent usage of adult language throughout the entire comedy special from start to finish, including, but not limited to, several instances of the word cunt, fuck, fucking, shit, pissing, hell. The special...
You know what it is? That actually sounds like, you would know, there's like this Blink-182 song that's like, shit, piss, fuck.
And show it, me that. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like the lyrics to that song.
And then it goes, the special also includes a single instance of the comedian directly pointing at an audience member and calling them a cunt.
That does happen.
That does happen. That's a good bit.
It's one of the highlights of the special, actually.
And then adult themes. The special contains adult themes throughout the entire recording, including jokes about recent tragedies as well as those in the past. Jokes and references to the Holocaust, masturbating, accidental deaths, racism, dementia, mental illness, mental disability, famine, alcoholism, drug abuse, pedophilia, physical disability, torture, death, and vegans.
Why is vegans and mental disability on the same...
I don't know.
Why is vegans even like a trigger word now?
Apparently that's an adult thing.
And why then, is veganism in the same category as alcoholism?
So you know what, man? Fuck a review. That's the best thing I've ever seen.
That's amazing. So yeah, if you go see the special now and find out why he has all that. And you also got offered another thing, reason why it was got delayed is because you got offered a Showtime deal in America for the special.
Yeah, so I got a few offers. So ABC Comedy were looking at it, and then this I won't say the name because I might work with them in the future, but this big distribution company from America hit me up, and they were like, hey, we saw that you broke a world record for a crowdfunding yeah. special, we want to watch it. And then I sent it to them, and it was funny. I was Skype calling with this woman from America, and she was like, wow, it's really good. It's really good. And I was like, hey, thank you. She goes, you don't hold anything back, do you? And I was like, no. So they wanted to distribute it, and you know, they would pitch it to Netflix and all that kind of stuff. And then Showtime, which is this big thing, it's like HBO in America, they wanted it. And I don't know, it was like a huge opportunity, but they were like, it would have to come out in December. And also the deal they were giving me was, if you get this Showtime deal, we get 50% of all transactional revenue, which is like...
Was it 50?
Yeah, which is...
I thought it was 30. I was telling my brother the other day, he's like, why didn't you take the Showtime thing? And I was like 30%. Jack's like, oh, that's such a rip-off. 50?
No, maybe it was 30. I can't remember.
Either way, it was a massive rip-off.
Yeah, it was like 30 or 50% of transactional revenue in perpetuity, which means forever. And even though it was an amazing opportunity, I felt like this is the only special that I'll probably ever do self-funded. And it's the only opportunity I'll ever get to make something that's only mine. And also, the mission statement from day one was to create something for the fans.
It was supposed to be independent, and yeah, that's why people pledged.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, like we had a long chat about it, like over a course of like 2 weeks.
It was like,
you were like asking
me
of like what I thought, and I didn't want to be an influence on the decision because I was like, it's not my thing. But from like, as someone who was once just a fan of you before I ever knew you, I can often give that insight of like, I put myself in like your guys' shoes, like,
yeah,
okay, it's delayed for 6 months when you already told them it was going to be out in March.
Yeah.
The reason why they gave you money in the first place was because the excitement of like a no holding back.
Yeah, kind of, well, because TV wouldn't fund it.
Yeah, like, yeah, that was kind of like the appeal. Mm. And then I thought, oh, if your reason for delaying it for 6 months and then also getting financially a little bit screwed is just to get some people in America to see it.
Yeah, it was.
And it's not even like it's Netflix. Yeah. Netflix, I think everyone else would understand, like,
yeah,
that's worth pushing back for.
Oh, yeah, if it was Netflix and they were like, hey, you can't put it out for another year, I would have been like, yep, totally fine. And yeah, I would have posted about it, and I think everyone would have been like, yep, totally fine.
Yeah, like, that's a huge deal. Like, the amount of people on Netflix. Dude, I sometimes scroll through and I'm like, never heard of the comedian. I'm like, I'll give him 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to make me laugh.
Netflix has 300 million people.
Exactly. That's quite a large reach.
Yeah. So it was a really tough decision because it was a huge opportunity, and because obviously my goal is America.
But the fact that you got like noticed and already had that opportunity even on the table, a lot of people in Lewis's position wouldn't even get that.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
not.
Hannah Gadsby's new special Nanette is on Netflix. Yeah, that was like that won Best Edinburgh Show and Best Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
but like not many like people, especially like
people who have never left Australia. I've never gone outside of it. So it was like it was like this big opportunity, but it came down to this is my only special that I'll do myself, and it's also not the only special I'll ever do. I recorded it when I was 23, so I've got heaps more in me. So I was like, you know what? I will have an opportunity to do another special with another thing, and it's the kind of thing where I've just felt like it's for the fans, so I'll make it for the fans.
Well done.
Fuck the big business thing. I can do that whenever I want. I only get one for me.
And so it's good.
If you guys want to watch it,
would recommend out
if
of
you
10.
Guys want to help me make that not a mistake, loosepears.com/watch.
Get some pears while you're there. do you want to do this one? Is a question. I think I've done it. If I have, I'm really sorry. I don't think I have answered this. It's a question about stand up, so I thought I'd save it. It starts off from unless you had anything more to talk about with the special.
I just think it's good. I don't know if you like my shit, if you like Luke's stuff, and you'll like this. It's like what I was saying, like with people who like my stuff. I'm like, hey man, if you like my stuff and you don't get it, you're kind of just missing out because it's better than anything I've ever done. So it's up to you.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like that's like when people come to the shows, I think like they watch our videos and they listen to this, and it's like, and that like we've been funny. Like that Shrek chart was pretty good, but like you know what I mean? They're like, yeah, they're funny, and then like they come to the shows and they go, oh, you're like laugh out loud, hilarious, funny for an hour. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, because this is my thing.
That's my job. Like, this is... I just do this because it's kind of funny to talk about Shrek. And and it amuses me that, over 2,000 people download this and hear it.
what's funny? For both of us, what we do online is, like... doesn't even compare to what we do on stage.
I don't
in
even
terms
see
of quality.
I don't even see the appeal of my online shit. Like, but, it's me just talking about Love Island, which is funny, but it's not rocket science to bag a show that everyone already knows is shit.
Yeah, but it's also like, but the amount of people who see the online stuff versus the stage stuff also doesn't even compare.
That's like, I always get offended, and then I snap out of it and go, no, it's not. Because people, like, when you're out, will be like, hey, bro, I love your videos. Like, I love that thing you did, like, 2 years ago. And you're like, oh, thanks, man. And you're like, oh, like... And then you're like, no, wait, that's what I'm known for. Because 99% of people have just seen that. And to the 1% that comes to the show, they know.
Although I was talking about this on my podcast last week.
Do you reckon they think our online stuff's shit because they've seen the good stuff?
Yeah, see, that's another thing. They'll be disappointed. They'll be like, oh, it's another video. Oh, fuck. I can't wait till next year when I can see some good stuff.
Yeah.
I was talking about this on my podcast. You know, with you and me always love trapping people who pretend like they're gonna come to a show just so they can talk to you.
My favorite. Happened the other night when I was out at a bar.
So if you guys don't know, so because we do shows and shit, like often Luke and I will do separate shows. We don't perform together, but we'll do like 12 in a row. So, but what will happen is you'll be Snapchatting on Tuesday night when you've got 9 more shows. You'll be like, hey guys, thanks for coming. That was amazing. Such a good show. Appreciate it. And then someone will message you and be like, hey man, congrats on the show. I'm so bummed that I missed out, man. I really wanted to come, but I'm happy for you. And then, you know, they were never going to come. They just want to talk to you. And they want to get the good feelings of us going, duh, that's all right, man. I appreciate you. But what I like to do is I go, hey, man, don't worry. I've got 9 more. And then they go,
fuck.
I'll see what I can do, man. I'll try and make it. Which means they were never going to come.
My favorite is when I do it in person. So, like, occasionally if we're walking around, like, near the town hall, there's lots of comedy fans about. It's a bus festival bus. Occasionally, we'll get recognized. Because we'll be like, hey, man, like, I love your shit. Like, and then people go, like, oh, you doing a show? And you're like, yeah, man, in, like, 2 hours. you should totally come. It's just around the corner. And they're like, yeah,
and
dude.
And they're not busy. They just asked you about it. They're in the city. All they're going to do is wait, get food, and they can go. And but they're lying.
And they're like, bro, I'd love to catch you. Like, oh, man, I really wanted to come last year. I had a guy go, man, I really wanted to come last year as well. I've been dying to see you for ages. Where can I see you? Surely you're doing... He's like, you must be doing a show. He goes, it was like the same thing where I'd posted about how the first show went.
They wait till they think they've missed you.
Yeah.
So then they can
he
be
was like,
oh.
He's like, I saw it sold out. I was like, yeah, the first night did, man. Don't worry, still got 10 more. And he goes, yeah. Great, man. I'll totally be there. Didn't see him. Fuck ya. Don't speak to me. Goodbye.
What? Actually, adios. Actually a waste of both of our yes. time. Because it's not like if you're a fake fan if you don't come to a show. But
it's fine. I get that people can't afford it, don't have time, might live ages away.
That's
family.
Fine.
There's so many reasons as to why you can't attend a thing.
But if you are the person who can't come, that's fine. But don't be the kind who pretends like they're going to come. It's like a girl being like, hey, we should get it on. And then you're like, yeah. And then she walks away. It's like, you just wasted both of our time.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing that for? Did you get a kick out of that? Because I didn't.
It sucked. Yeah. But now, man, I've with the comedy special, I've got it on steroids, dude. Because, so someone messages me, hey, man, I'm so bummed I missed it. I go, don't worry, man, I've got 9 more. And then sometimes they hit you with, oh, I work nights, which most of the time I think is a lie.
Yeah, and you're like, cool, dude, do you work 7 days a week at night? Because I do my show on weekends and weeknights.
Yeah, and then sometimes they'll lie again and they'll go, oh, yeah, I work during the week and then I see my family on the weekend. But now, man, what I've been doing is I've been going, hey, man, don't worry because I've got a comedy special and you can watch that at any time. Here is the link. It's not expensive. It's only $5. And then if they're not man enough to be like, ah, sorry, man, I just wanted to talk to you. I'm just a bit of a douche.
Yeah.
If I get anything less than I'm a douche, fuck you.
Yeah. You're a dog.
I've just started checkmating people now.
I like that we're getting mad at people who still watch our shit. If you're not giving us money, then fuck off. We appreciate you. But come to a show if you can. Alright, question. It's from a guy called Mark. Awkward if he said keep me anonymous. I don't think
he
has.
Hey, I yell about this all the time. If you want to be anonymous, how about don't tell me your name?
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, no, I'm just reading the name of his email. They put it in the fucking subject. Anyway, he starts it off with, well, 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 it's Luke Kidgel.
No.
Who starts an email like that? Do you do that to your boss?
What are you, the fucking villain from Incredibles?
First, sorry about that awful rap intro. Oh, so we're supposed to rap it.
Rap? Well, well, well.
Well, 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 it's Luke Kidgel.
That sucks, man. If that's rap... Fuck me.
Lewis does a bit of rap.
That's worse than
that. Is that good? Is that a good bar, man?
No, man.
Well, well, well.
It's Luke Kidgel. That's some fucking Lil Pump tier shit. Actually, he wouldn't even stoop that low.
Kid you gang.
I don't think Lil Pump raps via email either. Like, that's the worst part.
Nah, I reckon all SoundCloud rappers rap over email. Second, I know I'm recounting a 2017 episode. Maybe I've just read it before. I don't think I've done this on the podcast, but I have read this email before. But now that I'm considering entering an open mic, the heckler from hell comes to mind. This is from your special. Spoiling what should have been an otherwise great gig. Anyway, I'm asking if there's such thing as encountering a bad crowd or a bad member of the audience. I'm talking not just about the heckler from hell, but also about that woman who yelled boring at your show once when you brought up... you weren't there that time. That was brutal. When you brought up the Bachelor of Arts topic. Yeah, I was like, you haven't done an Arts degree? And she was like, boring! And
what
then
a
I
bitch.
Fucking destroyed her husband. I took it all out on the guy she was with.
Oh, as you should.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If someone yells out something,
because
you can't respond to boring. Like, it's just really rude.
She also then yelled out. She's like, "Is that a hickey on your neck?" Because I like had a heat rash, or I don't know. I was probably just like a red mark.
Yeah.
I was probably just touching my neck before I went on stage, and I get like a red neck pretty easy. She's like, "Is that a hickey?" And I was like, "Do you really think that's a hickey?"
So like, he hasn't got action for years.
Yeah, I was like, if you actually think, like, I get your neck's red, but, like, do you know what a hickey looks like? It looks like a bruise. It doesn't look like a bruise. And but I was, like, just backed into a corner.
Yeah.
And but I fucking destroyed her. I think I said, I just go back to the episode that I talked about. I said something horrible. I forget what I said. I remember walking out. I didn't go back to that room for about 3 months because the guy who was running it was like, I respect what you said, but you shouldn't have said that. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. And I just left.
That's fucking funny.
It was really awkward. Well, it was, and then I ended up doing my comedy festival show there, so it was fun.
I just think, I like heckles that are like joining in.
But yeah, he said, is there such thing as a bad crowd? I would say,
yeah,
there is, but I never like to blame the crowd. I think I've done it 3 times ever where I've blamed the crowd, where I've been like, it wasn't me. Oh, no, that's not true. Every time I did Shisha. Shisha was this room that we used to talk about a lot. We did it recently. It kind of had a resurgence.
Shisha comedy is like a, it's like a, at a shisha bar. It's full of sober Arabs in Springvale, which is like a very Asian Arab area. And it's just full of like 60 sober Arabs who are not there for comedy.
And they all have,
might laugh.
And they have shisha pipes in their mouth. So they're like already, their mouth is like already in, like occupied. So they don't want to laugh. So in order to get them to laugh, you'd joke has to be so funny that they have to A, stop feeding their addiction of shisha. They have to put the pipe out of their mouth, put it down,
and blow out the smoke.
Blow out the smoke, and then laugh.
Yeah.
So if you can get people laugh, and then usually if they do laugh, they'll just start coughing and spluttering.
Yeah.
They're like, good shit, bro. Hang on, I'm dying. But like, they all just sound like emphysema patients when they laugh. That is, those are the only times where I'm like, that wasn't me, that was them.
Yeah, but those are like really extraordinary circumstances.
And
like,
your
like,
special.
That's not a normal crowd.
That the rest of the crowd was fine at your special. For anyone who came that night, I remember like still some people in that crowd, that's the only time they've ever seen me. And I know that. Like some people came back to my show this year and were like, oh man, you were like so good. Like the only time I ever saw you before this was at Lewis's special when that guy ruined your set. And I was like, yeah, because I was dealing with a guy screaming out.
Yeah, I think that was my fault. I should, because it wasn't your place to kick him out because it was my show.
I wanted to kick him out, but I didn't want to ruin your vibe. And I've talked about this in the podcast. The episode is called The Heckler from Hell. I would say it's like episode 60 to 70. Go check it out. And I talk about it for like 30 minutes. But to answer your question, I would say, if you're considering, he said he wants to do an open mic, don't be like, you know,
I think that if you haven't even done comedy, you are overthinking it already. Don't even think about the crowd. You're like, fuck the crowd. You're, here's the thing, I tell this to people all the time because no one told this to me. When you start comedy, I think the most important thing to know is that you are going to suck and be really bad, and that is so normal.
That's good. That means you're just doing something new.
Yeah.
For the first time. Like, do you remember the first time you rode a bike? You probably stack and ate shit.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how to balance yet. It's like you don't know how to do comedy yet.
It's like the only thing with comedy is it's like the only thing that you have to practice in front of a crowd that is expecting a good comedian.
Yeah.
So that's brutal. Like, you can be bad at piano at home, but and you no can be like, I know I'm bad, but you need a crowd for comedy.
No one's expecting you to be good at an open mic night anyway. No. Like, if you are good at an open mic night, people are like, oh, this is good. Well, I didn't come here for good comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People just kind of, usually open mic nights are people who happen to be at a bar anyway, and then comedy starts, and they just turn around and go, oh, we're listening to this now. That's what most open mic nights are. And then some of the comedians' friends and family who are like, they're still new, so their friends still come. Once you've been doing it for 3 years, your mates don't come. I think my mates came to like my first 5, and then they come to my, and as they shouldn't, by the way. It's like if I rocked up to their job going like, hey mate, how's bloody marketing going? Yeah, great, I'll just sit here for the next 10 minutes.
Woo, good sale.
And watch.
Yeah. I think that with crowds, I think that very, very rarely you can blame the crowd, but that's only when it's weird. When it's a really weird thing, like something else is going on. But I'd say if it's just a normal crowd, even if they're pretty hostile, say for example, if you do an open mic night and the 7 acts before you have been really bad, the crowd, when you get up, is like, oh, here comes another bad comedian. And that's tough, but if you're good, you can turn them around. So generally, almost 100% of the time with comedy, it's your fault that you've done well or badly. And that's why I like it.
You probably just shit. So yeah, don't blame the crowd. like, at all. Like,
it's a real bad habit, and you see comedians do it, like, the crowd was off. It's like, nah, man, I saw your jokes, I'm pretty sure it was you.
There's nothing worse than being, I think it's the most important part of comedy is being self-aware.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than, like watching a person get off stage and, like, they didn't do well, and they're like, fuck yeah, that was sick. And I'm like, did we just watch the same set? I'm, like, the first one. I'm probably the hardest person ever on myself, and Lewis will know this. Like, I'll do well. I'll legitimately almost kill, and I'll be like, I fucked it. And Lewis was like, no, they loved you. And I was like,
I'm always fucking arguing with Luke, being like, no, that was good. He goes, no, but I said this word wrong. I'm like, you know that. They don't.
Yeah, and I was like, I did that in the wrong order. That was the worst set of my life. And it's like, yeah, no one cares.
Yeah. So I think that...
You need to be self-aware, but I'm the first one to be like, that was shit if it was shit.
Yeah, and I suppose, yeah, so if you're thinking about starting comedy, fuck the crowd, and then a good habit to know is that you're going to be shit, try and get as much stage time as you can, and then also a bad habit to avoid is if the comedians are laughing, probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
And a lot of comedians just try and make the other comics laugh, and we're weird, we laugh at weird shit. Like when, like Luke's favourite joke of mine is not a joke.
It's not a joke. Else laughed at. It's Lewis saying, eat a cucumber. At the end of a sentence.
And that was funny because I hadn't said it before.
And also, cucumber is a funny word to say when it's being filmed by $30,000 of equipment. I wasn't even laughing at what you said. I was laughing at your decision process in that moment of
exactly.
time. There's another point of the special. Now go watch it. You're going to have to after this because you're going to know. There's one point of the special where Lewis says, he's talking about what he does. He's like, you know, I just do dick jokes and farts and stuff.
And I'm so angry
in his special
and the dick jokes was supposed to be in there.
The thing
but
is,
fart stuff I've never said before. And if you watch the special, I say fart, and then you can see my face go, why am I saying fart? And then I go, fart stuff. And then my face just goes, why did I say fart stuff?
He stutters out fart stuff, and then you had to use that take. You couldn't edit it out. So now forever, it's you saying farts. And the stupidest part about it is, you've never done a fart joke.
Never in my 3 years of comedy have I ever told a fart joke.
And you're
ever.
Like, could I do fart jokes? And that's I was like, I don't think you've ever done a fart joke online. I definitely would have done a fart joke on my podcast.
We've done it on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Sneeze fart gag. It's the funniest thing ever. But, yeah, I've never done a fart joke on stage.
But, yeah, I guess, I don't know. Don't blame the crowd. That's a super bad habit to get into.
Thanks, Mark. Good question. Alright, that's the end of it's been on for an hour now, we should stop. Anything else you wanted to say, Lewis?
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for listening, you're welcome. Guys. And go get my comedy special. It's at lewspears.com/watch. It's fucking cheap, you can stream it or download it, and I think it's really, really good. A lot of people have been telling me that it's up there with some stuff that's on Netflix, so that's a good sign, I guess.
It is. It's very good. I endorse this special. Ding.
Yeah.
And this, if you didn't realize, thank you for listening to an hour long version of our radio show where we're allowed to swear and talk about Shrek. Before we go, we need a reference what happened. We did talk about it. we need to talk about what happened on air last night.
Yeah.
So, you may have tuned into the show once or twice just in the car or something. You'll know that, okay, people know from the podcast the Jeff and Big Spaghetti in joke. Where there's a rival fake show on Nova called Jeff and Big Spaghetti, which we talk about all the time.
They do drive on Nova, and it's a big thing.
Occasionally, Mike will panel their show, but mainly Radio Raheem, no, Sideshow Raheem fills in for them.
And the thing is, with all of our fucking jokes, every time we come up with a new one, all three of us go, this doesn't leave us. Because
we like make a pact to be like, this is just between us. And there's some that you guys still will never hear, and I'm glad about that. Me and Mike went through a fair few
what
on the podcast.
What is it?
Don't do that. What is it?
See, that's one that you'll never know about, and we're never going to explain it, and you're never going to understand it. Sorry.
And then forever, you'll ironically be like, but what is it?
And that is such a funny joke, and I'll never explain it to you. Yeah. Sorry.
It's never going to be explained. But there's heaps of these garbage ones that never gets out, and then Jeff and Big Spaghetti, we maintained in a little bubble of just us for 6 months where we used to talk about Jeff and Big Spaghetti.
And who then, do drive on Nova.
And then it kind of, you fucked it. Your Twitter, you posted a meme of Channing Tatum, and then instead of, so Channing Tatum's head over me,
And then
instead of you in our radio, the Luke and Lewis photo, you post a picture of a spaghetti bowl.
And then with no context, no text, just a photo of Jeff and Big Spaghetti. And that was when it was out, that, like a virus.
It was just like, and then I think you thought, this would be funny for Luke when he sees it on Twitter and no one else really get it and it would just kind of be forgotten about. And then...
But weirdly, the tweet got heaps of likes.
With no context. Yeah. And then the week later, I started trashing you on this podcast. I was like, what's happened this week has been a disaster. Like, it's gotten out. And I explained the in-joke. And now, last night on radio...
No, before this, there's this guy called Craig Bruce, who's like... Okay,
I didn't think we were even going to go into this.
Oh, we have to. There's this guy. This is going to be a 2-hour podcast. There's this guy called Craig Bruce. And if you don't, if you wouldn't know him if you're not in radio, Craig Bruce is and was one of the most important figures in the radio industry in Australia.
The head, or I think, I don't know what his official title was, but one of the heads of Southern Cross Austereo, which is the company that we work for,
which is like Triple M and Fox, like huge, giant corporation. And then he left and he started...
It's like the whole hit network around Australia. So wherever you're in, whatever hit station is...
It's like literally 300 radio stations.
Yeah.
And so he retired and then he started up a podcast called Game Changers where he interviews like everyone in radio.
It's a really good podcast. One of my favourite podcasts actually, but it's not funny at all. It's like about the craft of radio and that he interviews... famous broadcasters like
is that Hamish on there?
Hamish, but even ones that aren't like comedy wise, he'll have like guys like Darren Hinch and like 3AW people, and he'll have like just any kind of broadcaster on there.
Yeah.
And it's quite a serious and well known podcast in
and
the
really,
radio industry,
really highly respected. Like it's a big fucking deal.
It's a big deal if you get on this podcast in the industry.
And what we did to Craig Bruce was we just destroyed that rep.
So, we didn't get it up. So, it was like, Mike tweeted, where's Cackling Jack's episode? Where's Jack Post's episode from Hamish and Andy of Game Changers? And then...
So, he tweeted that at this Craig Bruce guy. And then, Craig... Oh, we need to look it up.
I'm going to get his tweet up. So, like, this is... Oh my god, Mike's pinned tweet is, I'm at the gym and I'm 99% sure Jeff from the Wiggles is on the treadmills.
Mike's Twitter sucks. So
Mike on Twitter as well.
So Radio Mike tweets Craig Bruce, most important figure in radio at the moment. He goes, hey, this episode was great, but where is my Jack Post Game Changers, who's a panel operator for Hamish and Andy? And then Luke said, I'm keen for Radio Mike's episode, A True Game Changer.
Which is already, like, pushing it. Like, this is, like, a really respected guy. And
okay, we're so new to radio that we shouldn't be coming anywhere near Craig Bruce. He shouldn't know about us
know
at
who
all.
We are.
This is, like, why are we fucking with this important person?
And it's even, like, a ballsy move that I've suggested to this really highly respected guy that Radio Mike is a true game changer of... the radio industry.
Keep in mind, this guy's like a 20-year veteran. We haven't even been doing
it. I think he's like 50-something.
We haven't even been doing it for a fucking year, and we're tweeting him. Like, that's so presumptuous.
And then, so he's tagged in all these tweets, and then Mike goes, me too, I rehearse it in the shower every night. And then is said in quotation marks, like, of what an example phrase he would say on his podcast. As soon as I played a fart followed by a sneeze on air, I think we all knew the show was really onto something. And that is true.
Yeah, and then when I saw that, when I saw you and Mike tweeting him, I was like, well, you know what? The fucking game's up. Here we go. I'm going to turn this into some shit. And I said... I was like, hey, if we're 20 Greg Bruce, we might as well put ourselves in a coffin.
Yeah.
And I said... Surely Radio Dave should get an episode first.
Now, Radio Dave, it was a guy who, his name's Dave. Mike was away one show over the school holiday period we just did.
Yeah.
And this guy called Dave filled in, and that's the only context of that joke.
Yeah, so this guy filled in, he was good, and we started calling him Radio Dave. He didn't get on board with it.
Nah.
But I was like, but he was better than Mike. He didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Radio Dave deserves it more than Mike.
So already, Craig Bruce has been reading all these, and then finally Craig Bruce comes in and says...
Which I was very surprised by.
I thought he was going to ignore this garbage for sure, as you would if you're in his position.
He probably should have. From what happened next, because as soon as he responded, I was like, oh, we're on here.
So he responds to surely Radio Dave should get an app first with tried him too, got donuts from him. So he's participating in garbage.
Yeah.
Now this is where it gets...
He dipped his toe in and I grabbed him by the ankle and dragged him underwater. And I was like, that's okay. I hear Jeff and Big Spaghetti have been killing it recently.
And he doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know.
He doesn't get what we've been talking about. And he replies with...
This is before we Luke reads this tweet. This is, I cannot stress enough, one of the most important people in the radio industry.
In the world, not even in Australia. Yeah. People who internationally know this guy. He said, "Jeff's in rehab. I thought you knew." And then Lewis goes, "Oh no, Big Spaghetti will be devastated." This
Jeff and Big Spaghetti joke has been going on for 6 months, and they have like deep lore attached to them now. So they do Nova Drive. Jeff and Big Spaghetti are occasionally feuding. Their button pusher Radio Raheem tries to keep the team together. Now, according to Craig Bruce, Jeff's just gone to rehab.
We had no idea Jeff was in rehab, guys.
No, we had no idea. So I don't know what's going to happen to the show.
And then we start like this is like where it's got to now. So other people, obviously, when we tweet. Because we all three of us, Craig, Lewis and I, we all have a lot of followers on Twitter. So the amount of people who are seeing this interaction is incredibly high. So then yesterday I tweeted things that were said on radio today. Right, and we haven't even talked about this.
So last night Radio Mike was not in, because he was getting his appendix out, so he was not there. So our panel operator James, our producer James, he operated the panel. And the whole day, Radio Mike kept texting and calling both of us, trying to work out who was going to panel.
He's like, who's paneling the show? Who's pushing the buttons? And we just kept telling him different people.
And because he wanted to know, I was like, well, if he wants to know, I don't want to tell him, because that's funny. So I told him, oh, Radio Dave's doing it. He believed that for a bit. And then he was like, wait, I just saw Radio Dave do an Instagram story. He's not there.
And
who's
then
paneling?
Throughout the show, you may have noticed if you're listening to the show live last night or even heard the podcast, I think some of them were cut out of the podcast because they were in like little teaser breaks we did. I don't think Spaghetti made the podcast, but...
What?
I don't know. I don't think he did. I haven't listened to it yet, but I assume it was cut out because it was in a teaser break. We'll get the audio for next week. Don't worry. We'll address it.
Every time we addressed the panel operator...
Who was James.
Because Mike was listening to the show live for some reason from his bedroom.
He's just in his house because he had his appendix out.
So we decided to fuck with Mike by every time we addressed the panel operator, we would use a different name.
And sometimes, like this is actually what happened. I used his actual name. I was like, hey James, when's the blood moon? And he goes, oh, it was on Saturday. And I said, cheers, Andrew. Like,
and the whole time, Mike was just texting us, who's paneling? What are you doing? And why do you keep saying different names?
There's like 50,000 people who listen to the radio at any one time, but we heard at the minimum. So, and we're doing this for one person, right? And this is like this, I tweeted last night, things that were said on radio tonight. This is Luke and Lewis and Big Spaghetti on the Fox.
Yeah, Big Spaghetti, because Jeff's in rehab, he had a bit of time, so he filled in for the panel just for one break.
We're not kidding. If you go listen back, he goes, it's Luke and Lewis and Big Spaghetti on the Fox. Now, Luke...
And then I go, Luke and Lewis and Big Spaghetti, and then I look at Luke, and it was basically, my challenge to you is to not acknowledge that I just said Big Spaghetti.
And I'm, like, fighting off laughter going, now, what do we want to talk about? And I'm like, James is losing his shit on the other side of the room. I also said at one point, play the sound effect Radio Jeff. Now, that's not to be confused with actual Jeff, because we all know Jeff's in rehab. And I said, hit it Radio Chad at one point. You said, take it away Radio Raheem with a song. Like, we got to the end of the break, and we're like, oh, yep, time for a song. Take it away, Radio Raheem.
And the whole time, every time we say a different name, Mike texts me saying, stop.
And he called us.
Stop doing it.
During the show, he's like, do you need to stop doing this? And we're like, mate, this is only further encouraging.
My favourite one was, this was what I said after I said, this is Luke and Lewis and Big Spaghetti. And he goes, he just texts me, no. And then he sends me another text. He goes, that was too fucking far. I can't believe you did that. And then he sends me another one. The integrity of the show is at risk. We don't have any integrity.
Mate, we did a sneeze fart a month in. Okay, I know this is going to go forever, this podcast. There's one more thing I want to talk about, because I don't think I haven't brought it up. We got to talk about, this is when the show first lost its integrity. The air check with Dave.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So our boss is Dave Cameron, and when we say our, you know how there's like, you know when you have an office job, you have your manager who's your boss, and then you have your manager's manager, and then you have the manager's manager's manager. That's who Dave Cameron is. He is in charge of everyone at Fox, everyone at Triple M. He's like in charge
I think he has Craig Bruce's old job.
Yeah, he does. He's the new Craig Bruce.
He's the general manager of Melbourne. Anyway, so what an air check is.
This story.
What an air check is. It's miserable. It's one of my least favourite things that's ever happened to me. What an air check is where, like, the content director will literally listen to your show that went on the radio in the room in front of you, and we all just sit there in silence, and he'll pause it and give feedback.
Yeah.
And that's great when you do good radio, because they're like, this was great, boys. They're laughing a little bit.
I liked how you did that, and you brought this up, and you guys are using each other's names. That's really good. You could have done this a little bit better. And then we go, yeah, that is. And then the radio show improves. But we've only ever had one bad air check, and this is it, and I'll never forget it.
There was one day we just must have come in really short on ideas, unfocused, and now Dave Cameron is notorious for hating poo chat and fart jokes.
Yeah.
And it was the day on our show that we first introduced the sneeze fart. Now, fans of the Luke and Lewis show will be aware of this. It's where you go... We did a break one day of like, what...
What's the funniest combination of bodily functions?
So,
because I think one day I coughed and I yawned and I was like, oh, two functions.
Yeah, that's so fine. It was like, cough. And then we started playing yawn farts, like...
So and we had all of these different
and
sound
it was like,
effects.
It wasn't just farts. We were trying to be mature. Like, oh, what would a sniff burp sound like? Like... And then it was like... And then we started going to Mike, like, give us a sniff and a sneeze and a burp and a sneeze. And he was like... And then we were just like crying with laughter, right? But he didn't actually air check that. So then another break we did, it was still to this day one of the worst things we've ever done on radio. I forget what it was even about. It was about animals at the zoo.
I think we were talking about improv, and I was like, oh, I'm going to test Luke's improv skills. And so I had a pre-recorded thing of me walking through the zoo. So it'd be a pre-recorded thing, and I would be like, oh man, look, it's a cow. And then I was like, you just have to improv.
And then there was a space for me to be a cow.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, look at the lions. And then it was like 3 seconds of silence where I have to be like, rawr, I'm a lion.
Which was just like...
I don't know why you thought, like, that was, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to take any responsibility for that. That was totally your idea.
It was objectively not funny.
Yeah.
It was just not...
Even when you explain it, it's like, that sounds like the worst thing ever. And it was. But we did it on a show. I don't even think it may have made the podcast.
I think we cut it out of the podcast because it was bad.
So maybe no one had ever heard it. But anyway, it went to air. We did it. And at one point, you were like, oh, look, it's our boss, Dave Cameron. I said something.
You're like, oh, I'm Dave, and
I said something rude. I was like, oh, and
I listen to the show all the time.
Yeah, I was like, because we had this ongoing joke that he didn't used to listen to the show, but he used to claim he did. But anyway, so I like trashed him a little bit, like in a funny way. And then we also did this other break, which was definitely me. It was about like Santa's letter, and it was like I made a joke about Rudolph fucking Santa on the radio.
You did.
It was in like December last year. It was leading up to Christmas. I think it was leading up to...
You did too.
And I made like a heavily implied joke that Rudolph unconsensually... No, Santa unconsensually was fucking
Rudolph.
Oh
yeah, dude. You get shitty at me when I made that bondage sex joke about Toys R Us.
Yeah, but I didn't do
that. But before, you were like, oh, Santa rapes his reindeers.
Yeah, but like I was like... doing that on Triple M on Digital when I knew no one was listening. You do that on, like, Fox when it's, like, the biggest radio station in the country.
Hey, man, if you've got a bang a bondage joke, you've got to get it out there. The people need it.
So, I'm, like... So, I've done all these jokes that we even came off air and Mike was like, man, that was too far. Like, Mike was giving us a wrap-up, like, stop talking about... Mike was going to dump it. He was like, stop talking about Santa fucking Rudolph. And you were, like, not opposed to it either. You were, like, laughing.
Hey, if you know what? If you're looking at me to slow you down... I will always... If I'm always the friend that goes... more.
And that's the thing. And then I think someone even made the joke like, oh, we need to rein it in. And I was like, yeah, that's what Santa says to like Rudolph. Like, we were just kept on pushing it. We were just making like almost... Anyway.
You know what? I've gotten to this podcast, and I think all of the listeners will be thinking this, but even I'm thinking, how do we have a show?
I don't know. That's true. But anyway, so we're doing this on air, and then we kind of forgot that day that we had an air check after it.
Yeah, we forgot.
And then, so Dave is like, oh, is the air check still on? And we're both like, we both look at each other and we go, oh no.
Because it was like, this air check was like Russian roulette, where there was like two good breaks,
there was
but
two?
There were four fucking shit ones.
We knew that it was just like not a great show. We did some, look, it was trial and error that day. It wasn't our best work. And we're like, all right, we're not happy with today's show. We went into some areas. And we kind of, so we sat down and he goes, how's the show been going? And you can't be like, shit. So we're like, yeah, great. You know, like, let's just pray to
because
God.
Because that week was really good, but that day was real bad.
And that was also in the time period that we were kind of, Fox discussions were on the table of like, will you get a show on Fox, move away from
and as
M-M-M-M-M-M.
Soon as they put that carrot in front of us, we were like, hey, we're gonna be over here, so where we are currently, we can poo on the floor.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter because we weren't
no
to
no
clean
but we
up.
Just had the, this was still when we just had them on a digital show, so we were like, yeah, trying to impress them. Yeah. And then he listens to the animal noises break, and I'll never forget the look on his face. He's listening to it. Usually it's like a little bit of laughter, we're smiling at each other, the mood is up.
Because we had only had really good
breaks. Great feedback up until then, and then it's just, the room is like this, just...
So he's listening to it, and I'm looking at him watch it, and then I'm quiet. Listening to it, and it's me going, oh look, there's a cow! And then Luke goes, moo! and Dave is just looking at it. He's not looking at us. You know when someone doesn't look at
he
you?
He couldn't even make eye contact with us as he was listening to it.
And I'm like, oh, look, it's a bird. And Luke goes, gah! And then I go, oh, look, it's our boss, Dave Cameron. And Dave Cameron listens to you go, hey, I'm Dave Cameron.
And the look in his face when we're taking, not only are we taking the piss out of him, but in one of the worst.
Wasn't funny.
Worst ways possible, wasn't funny. And we knew it. And he's sitting there, he's not even making eye contact. He has his face palming the whole time. And then he doesn't even listen to the whole break. He gets 2 minutes into it. We're still talking about fucking animal noises. He pauses it. He slowly turns his chair.
Right. What he
like
said,
in the movies.
What he said was the most tactile thing.
And then he just goes to me, looks directly at Lewis and I in the eye. And Lewis is like, I knew you just wanted to sink into the couch and never be seen again. He looks directly at me and goes, what did you think about that? And it was dead silence. And I went, I don't think it's funny to make animal noises on the radio. And he goes, I'm glad we agree.
And then he just turns back to the computer and he goes, let's listen to another one.
And then as he's scrolling to find the next one, he goes, well, shall I listen to the next one? And I knew the next one was fart sneeze. And I'm like, and I was like, but I forgot about the fucking Rudolph jokes. And I was like, I know he hates, he like, there's literally like a stigma around him that like, he's notorious for hating fart jokes.
Yeah.
Like he hates poo chat on radio.
There was an email that he sent to another show. I can't remember what show, but he was like, it was like a staff-wide email years ago, and we know about it, so it's like legendary.
Yeah.
Of him, he said something along the lines, he gave a little bit of feedback, and then he said down the bottom of the email something like, and in case you were wondering if fart noises or fart jokes are ever funny on the radio, I would like to let you know that they definitely are not.
Right? And we'd done a whole break on farts. And he's like, should I listen
to
this
minutes.
One? 4 minutes. And I was like, nah, give it a skip. So as he's kind of fast-forwarding through the thing, he goes, oh, is it up to now?
You hear
and
like little seconds
like,
of each break.
Yeah, it just sounds like rewinding footage. It's like, and then he stops it and you hear, two. And then it's Lewis and I crying with laughter. He just looks back at us and goes, and then keeps going. And then you can just hear, even though it's in fast motion,
just
fart sound effects.
Screaming laughter.
Screaming, howling laughter at farts. He finally gets to us, and then we start talking about Santa, and I'm going, oh no. Oh no.
It was another bad break.
And I was like, is this. And then it got into territory where I started talking about Santa fucking Rudolph, and then he just turned around to us, and he went, why don't we leave it here today, boys?
No, before that... So, oh, dude, the worst part was before he did that, so he listened to he listened to the fucking, the animal noises one, and that was bad, and then before that, he's like, all right, well, because normally we only do one segment, so he's like, all right, well, I don't want to leave today on a bad note, so let's leave today on a good note, and we'll listen to another one.
Yeah.
And then he listens to the reindeer one, and then he goes, let's leave it there.
Yeah, he just...
he tried to leave it on a good note, but then everyone was just like, you boys did a bad show today. All right.
Yep.
See you next week.
And I can't believe we didn't fire us after that, and we still have a job. And woo! I just realised now we need to go because we have another air check in 35 minutes. And
oh, fuck.
He's going to hear Big Spaghetti on the radio.
Oh, yeah, Big Spaghetti was last.
So, yeah, we'll probably won't have jobs next week, but we'll speak to you then. Lewis, thank you very much for coming on. Go get Death Threat Zone Scammy. I realise it's been behind us the whole time.
Yeah.
So, go get
Yeah, you guys will really like it. If you liked anything during this podcast, special's way better. And you can stream it, download it. It's $5. LewisSpears.com/watch. And it's really good, so...
Cool, we need to get told to not talk about Jeff on the radio. Nah, goodbye.
Good luck.